Now, Trudy. 1, 2.
Where the bee sucks, there suck I.
Suck, 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 suck.
Right. Now, just hold it there. Now, I realise that since the Governor, at George and Charles' suggestion, of course, has arranged that B Block is to give a concert at the Tower of London, every prisoner in B Block quite naturally wants to be in the choir, but lots of you, unfortunately, can't sing for Tossie. Order, gentlemen, please, order, order. So I think the best thing all round, both to satisfy my aesthetic judgment and to ensure that all of us still go on the outing, is that the ones I now indicate, the Browners, that is, will kindly mouth the words rather than actually singing them, all right? Right. Basil, mouthing only.
You're fine.
Billy?
All right.
Winston?
Yeah, right, got a natural.
Tommy, mouthing?
Right.
Fingers?
Really?
Yes, mouthing.
Suit yourself.
Now, gentlemen, let's try again with some heartfelt mouthing as well as singing. Right, from just before, tuck, 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 tuck. 1, 2.
Where the bee sucks, there
sucks.
Sucks,
sucks. In our cowslips, there I lie. Stop. Now, you've just mouthed as well, bullet head.
No. Not that. No one calls me that. No one. Not anymore. No one calls me bee.
I'm sorry, Bullet. I mean, Cyril. Yes, I'm forgetting, sorry. Now, would you just mouth as well, Cyril?
Certainly, Nigel. Charmed to be of assistance.
Right, Cyril. Now, once more, gentlemen. Trudy, you start. 1, 2.
Where the bee sucks, there suck I. In a cowslip bell I lie.
I lie. I lie.
There I count when owls do cry, when owls do cry, when owls do cry.
A Right Royal Rip-Off by Wally K. Daly, with Peter Jones as Charles, Lockwood West as George, Bernard Breslau as Bullet Head, Charles Hawtrey as Fingers, and Donald Hewlett as Governor Smith. A Right Royal Rip-Off.
Under the blossom that hangs on the bough, merrily, merrily shall I live now. Under the blossom that hangs on the bough, under the blossom that hangs on the bough.
Gentlemen, restrain yourselves. Gentlemen.
And lady, Mrs. Chairperson.
Sorry, Mrs. Sopworth, and lady, of course. Thank you. Now, could you please try to control these outbursts? We are, after all, making decisions that affect the lives and release dates of many of Her Majesty's most recalcitrant prisoners. And I think it is essential that this parole board retains its sense of what is and what is not decorum.
Well, goodness me, started it. Now, ask him to explain his disgraceful attitude to the inmates of B Block in general, and to these two prisoners in particular.
Certainly. Certainly I'll explain.
Well, get on with it, then explain.
If only you'd all stop shouting for a moment.
Through the chair, Governor Smith.
Sorry, certainly I'll explain through the chair, Mrs. Chairman. Mrs. Chairperson.
Well, please do. It's nearly sherry time, and we've still got an awful lot of business to attend to.
Normally, I would be the first person to admit that remission earned should be given. And the two gentlemen in question have certainly earned their remission.
Well, what's all that fuss about then? Let them go!
The fuss, gentlemen, and Mrs. Sopworth, of course.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Is about the reaction of the other prisoners to the early release of these two particular inmates.
What's that got to do?
We know they all took part in the great sales day robbery at Harady's. £4 million removed in one day.
Yes, they didn't get away with a penny of it.
That isn't the point, Mr. Thompson. They took it and paid the price. No denying it was the judge's favourite store. He admitted as much in court. And despite being a relatively young judge at 87 years old, he confessed to still taking tea there at least once a week, if not twice. I admit he was somewhat severe, All the accused receiving 10 years each, except for these two, who, having impeccable records and having worked a lifetime for the Prisoners' Aid and Rehabilitation Society, as well as having met the judge a few times at receptions and things, received only 5.
What are you grizzling on about, Governor Smith?
I'm grizzling on, as you so graphically put it, about the fact, Mrs. Sopworth, that if you parole them now, after having served only 3 years of their sentence, and the rest must remain for a further 7 years, there's likely to be a riot in this prison.
Sorry to keep you, Billy.
That's all right. No rush. There's another 7 years to do as it happens. I'm not exactly in any great hurry.
Good. Couldn't pop the kettle on while you're waiting then, could you?
Certainly. Be my pleasure, Charles. My folio case will be all right here, will it?
I'll keep my eye on it.
Ah, fine.
Charles?
Yes, George?
The clay for the pottery group has arrived at the main gate.
Right. The governor will look after that, then, when he's free.
Good.
How's it going, Warden Wilk?
Right, oh, just tipped up in the luster of the glasses out now. Towards a greater understanding of policemen and their problems.
Well done. Use the Darjeeling, Billy.
Now, there we are. Done.
Good.
And an impressive list it is as well.
I think it must be the busiest curriculum we've organised yet.
Without a doubt. You don't think you may have laid on a little too much this time? Silk screen printing, silver mark appreciation society.
If you remember, Warden Wilkes, you had the same reservations about the lapidary class and the art appreciation lectures last term.
So I did. Point taken.
The boys can't get enough. The whole of B blocks are thirst for knowledge and new frontiers. And George and I shall go on providing ever greater challenges to their newfound enthusiasm till the thirst is quenched.
Well, I must be off to the meditation stroke snooker room. Will you be along to hear the choir rehearsing later?
Well, there's still a few appointments on the book, but we'll try to pop in for a few minutes before they finish.
Right, see you then. Bye, Charles.
Bye, George. Kettle's on.
Many thanks, Billy. Want to show us what you've got in the folio while it's quietened down for a few minutes?
Certainly, it'd be my pleasure.
George, are you nearly finished there? Billy's brought his latest piece for us to have a look at.
Just marking the last paper.
There we go. What do you think of those two, then?
Wonderful.
Come in.
Am I right? First of all, Picasso. One real and one copy.
Got it in one, Charles. Or rather, in two.
Good Lord. Now, that really is quite amazing, Billy. From over here, you can't see a scrap of difference between them. Oh. Can't see any difference from here, either.
So which one's the real one, Billy?
I have a guess, Charles.
Well, I couldn't be certain, but I'd have a blind guess that that one's the real one and that that one's the one you painted.
George?
Well, on principle, I usually allow myself to be guided by Charles in this sort of thing. He was, after all, an intelligence during the war. So that one is the real one, and that one... it's the forgery.
Copy, George. Copy.
Oh, sorry, Billy. Yes, copy. No offence, mate.
All right, no offence taken. It's all semantics in any case. Copy, forgery, what's the difference?
About 5 years, I should imagine.
Ah, copy it is then.
Well, this time I was off. Many thanks for the interview at such short notice,
yes,
Charles.
Right. I was looking forward to your opinion, which I naturally value highly.
Yes, but which one is it?
Which one's what, George?
The real Picasso.
Oh, the real one.
Where we write?
Trade not.
Oh.
You both picked the phony yet again. Well, I better be getting back to my cell, get this into its frame. Governor Smith said that if I let him have it by this afternoon, he'll get it back to the gallery and see if his friend there will let me have a Lautrec. Perhaps you'd let the governor know it'll be ready soon.
Of course.
Well, I'll be off then. Oh, it looks like the kettle's boiling.
I'll get it. Bye, Billy.
Bye. Bye, Charles.
Goodbye.
You all right? A bit deep in thought.
Yes, just a hint of a worry in my mind, George.
Worry?
Well, thought might be the better way of putting it.
Well, you want to share it?
Yes. How do we know whether it's the real paintings that go back into the frames?
I say, Charles, that's a bit strong.
Is it? I took tea with Billy last week in his cell. The walls are hung from floor to ceiling with unframed Picassos, two constables, a fat lady with a hole in the middle by Henry Moore, a Modigliani, a Monet, a Manet. Wall-to-wall paintings, George. You name the master, and he's got at least one painting by each. And you know what, George?
What, Charles?
I think they're all the originals.
What?
In fact, being honest, I'm certain of it.
Good Lord. Well, surely we must tell someone. Governor Smith, perhaps.
Certainly not. It's only a misplaced sense of value that puts such a worth on the originals. No, I think leave well alone, George. But I do think best to let Billy know soon that I'm not quite the silly old duffer he's been taking me for these last few months.
Oh, you're not a silly old duffer, Charles. If anyone around here could be called a silly old duffer, it would be me.
Yes. Well, is that the last of this morning's appointments, George? Just check the book, would you?
Certainly, Charles, certainly. Ah, we've got to pop along and see how finger sculpting is coming along.
Good, I shall enjoy that. Ever since Tommy the Telephone's taken to playing his guitar in Finger's cell to help soothe his nerves, it's become quite Arcadian there.
Yes, quite delightful. Apart from that, there's only Bullet Head.
Cyril!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Really?
Well, he wants to talk about his English lit examination, I believe.
Well, that shan't take long. So good opportunity to finish making the tea, eh, George?
Oh, indeed. Right off.
I don't know what we're going on about still.
Surely, if you could rethink the matter in even 6 months' time, it would be a help.
No, Governor Smith. This parole board as a whole has decided.
Yeah.
And I would be pleased if you would accept our decision without further quibbling. Serve their sentences so far blemish-free. They've earned their remission, and they are to be paroled forthwith. Now, Sherry.
But
me no but, sir. Forthwith they are to be free. I, the Lady Chairperson of this Her Majesty's Parole Board, have spoken.
Come.
It's only me.
Ah, Cyril.
How are you?
Surprisingly well, thank you, considering the inordinate amount of perusing I've had to be a doing of relative to my forthcoming examination on the many mysteries of English literature. I found a great problem at first with Ode on a Grecian Urn, but I think I've finally cracked it now.
Oh, good. Well, there we are. Tea's made and brewing.
But how's it going more generally, Cyril? Ready for the exams?
Oh, it's going quite smoothly, thank you. Mm, well,
good.
Very smooth indeed. In fact, smooth as monumental alabaster, as a fellow said prior to doing a Jack the Ripper on Desdemona.
Yes,
being honest, I never thought that education could be such fun. In fact, she's like the barber's chair that fits all buttocks.
Beg pardon?
All's well that ends well.
Ah, oh, yes, of course, I suppose it would be, yes.
Shakespeare again, George.
Really? Fits all buttocks.
Appetite, isn't it? Not that I would have known before, never having had any until you got me started on this self-improvement course that is.
Oh, good. Glad you're enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Mm. Education's wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, wonderful.
You know, I never could understand when the head of the gang was working out how far a tunnel or get into a bank vault, say, how he could possibly know the distance with just a map to guide him how far to dig like.
Yeah.
But once you've done geography and you learn about epicimeters, you're home and dry.
What, Cyril?
Epicimeters, George. You know, the little wheel on a stick for measuring lines on a map.
Oh, yes, of course, epicimeters. I'd quite forgotten those.
And the things of interest you discover are really amazing. I mean, what are those long white things that Indians have dangling between their legs that they nonchalantly throw over their shoulders called?
Doties.
That's the word, doties. Well, they wear those doties to reflect heat so they don't get too hot. Round the crutch light.
Oh, how interesting.
Yes, but what is the purpose of your visit today, Cyril? Is there something specific, or did you just pop in to chat over things generally?
Well, there was that thing about the past participle relative to the pronoun, of course.
Ah, yes, of course there was. Well, I honestly think the best thing would be to have a chat with Governor Smith. Grammar's not really my strong point, and he has had to do an awful lot of studying of grammar for his autobiography, so I'm sure he'll be able to answer any queries.
Right, I'll do that.
Anything else?
Well, just about my name again.
Cyril.
And no, the other one.
Bullet Head, you mean.
George.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that one, which I'd rather not say. A few of the chaps still let it slip out. Accidentally, I think. I mean, I know a rose by any other name should smell as sweet, but quite frankly, that particular soubriquet gets right up my ooter. And I would like you and George, if you would, to let me know to everybody what my feelings are about it. Now I'm starting to get some small smattering of education, like, and not unnaturally a more sensitive like nature, like.
Certainly we will.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You could also drop it into the conversation, so like, nothing too obvious or overstated, that the next person I hear calling me that, she'll have their legs ripped off and stuffed up their noses.
Yes,
something like that. Better than that, if you know what I mean.
Yes, similar.
Silken words are thread with gold, as Shakespeare would probably have said.
Would he?
Probably. It's safe and secure security.
Yes, Mr. Perkins speaking. Who? Oh, the Tower of London Chief Security's Office. Yes, yes, of course, yes, yes, I'll certainly hold. The Crown Jewels cleaning contract. Please, please, let it be yes. Please, please, let it be yes. Yes, speaking. We have. Oh, that's wonderful news, Colonel, wonderful. No, no, I do realise how important the job is, and I do appreciate you ringing to let me know personally that the contract is ours. I'm sure that safe and secure security will serve you well. Pardon? Yes, it was a very good cabaret, wasn't it? Delightful little fillies. We must meet there again soon. Yes. Yes, I'll do that. Goodbye. Goodbye, Colonel.
Yippee!
We've got the Crown Jewels job. We've got the Crown Jewels job. We've got the Crown... Yes, Doreen?
I thought I heard you call, sir. Was there something?
No, it was nothing. Just up my toe. Back to work, Doreen.
Very good, sir.
By the way, it's just been confirmed that Safe and Secure Security has actually won the contract for overseeing the cleaning of the Crown Jewels at the Tower.
Oh, sir, that's wonderful news, Mr. Perkins. Wonderful.
Control, Doreen. Just another job. Nothing to get too excited about. Back to work now, dear.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Cannelloni phoned.
Cannelloni?
That's the one. Said please to call him pronto. Something the matter, Mr. Perkins? Not bad news?
Oh, no, Doreen, not bad news. Now, get me, Mr. Cannelloni. Wait. Get me my pills first.
I hope you don't mind me saying so, Fingers, but your calves are exquisite.
Not at all, Tommy. Nice of you to mention it.
And those thighs. So smooth, so sensual.
Oh, glad you like them.
And best of all, I think, are your little toes. Perfect little pearls. Each one a minor miracle at the end of a perfect foot.
Oh, you are awful. Make me blush if you go on like that.
No, I mean it. It's fantastic. You take your little thing there in your hand, hit the end of it with a mallet, and voila! Miracles in marble. Half a torso knocked out in no time.
It's only practice. I mean, I feel the same about your guitar playing, Tommy. I've got the nimblest fingers in the world when it comes to safe cracking. Fame for it. But when I see what you can do with yours, well, one quick wiggle, and you're plucking up arpeggios out of nowhere. Well, there, you see. It almost puts me to shame.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. It's really all down to discovering your unknown skill and practicing it, as George and Charles would say.
Yes, they would.
Oh, changed my life totally, them getting in my guitar.
Tommy, if you just stop playing for a few minutes.
Oh, certainly.
This is a bit difficult. I need all my concentration for these last few taps.
Oh, I don't know how you can tap there without wincing.
Just a few more taps.
Ooh.
Da-da-da-da-da. Silence, please, Tommy.
Sorry.
This is the vital bit.
Fingers! Tommy, disastrous news!
Whoops.
Oh, nasty. Sorry, Fingers, but there's a meeting of all B-Block in the meditation stroke snooker room immediately.
Music, Tommy. Please.
You know, George, sometimes I wake in the middle of the night when the world is peaceful and asleep and I'm comfortable and safe, snug in my bed, and I think, are there any other two elderly gentlemen adrift in this whole world as lucky as we two are? Biscuit?
What's brought this on, Charles?
What?
The musing, aren't we lucky, all that business.
I don't know, really. Just thinking, wouldn't it be awful if something came along to spoil it at first?
Well, shouldn't think so. A bit unlikely. There's enough work here to keep us going for years, yes?
True, but I do feel a strange sense of impending doom this morning.
Who on earth can that be? None of the boys would ever disturb our break.
Awfully sorry to disturb without an appointment.
Governor, what an unexpected pleasure. Come in, come in.
Popped in for a cup of weak Darjeeling. Perfect timing. I'll fetch another cup.
No. I thank you very much, all St. George. Had something of a shock.
Shock?
Yes, but I'll get to that in a minute.
Telegram phone off, George.
How's your day been? Busy?
Fairly average, no great problems. Oh, I did suggest that Bullethead contacted you with a grammatical problem he's somewhat battled with.
Oh, fine. Be pleased to help.
And he has now apparently cracked the Grecian urn, by the way.
Oh, that's rather sad. I didn't actually know he had a Grecian urn, being honest.
No, the ode. By Keats.
The ode, of course, yes, good. Anything else for me, Cropper?
Just to remember to collect the Picasso off Billy for return to the gallery.
I think it's a Lautrec he's after next, isn't it?
I believe so. It's very thoughtful of your friend there to be so helpful.
Oh, not at all. Charming man, charming. Mm. We've no real connection, you understand. Same prep school, Eton, Oxford, the Guards, MI6, that sort of thing. But nothing special. Mm. Every time I see him, I say, who'd have thought old Pumper Pembrose would end up as head of a garret? And he says, who'd have thought old Stinker Smith would end up as an HM prison governor? But I would, of course, prefer that particular nom de guerre didn't go beyond these four walls.
Oh, of course not.
Oh, good.
So, he doesn't mind you borrowing them?
No, the exact opposite, in fact. He says the prison atmosphere obviously does them good. They all arrive back looking even fresher and cleaner than when they leave.
Yes. Don't you think you'd better get it off your chest, Gov?
It's bad news, I'm afraid.
Bad news?
You both have to leave.
What?
You have to leave.
You can't mean it. There's so much work still to be done here. The men are just learning to trust us.
I'm sorry. I did my best, but the board was adamant. You are now eligible for parole, and I know you'll be as horrified as I am to hear it, but they are insisting that you are both released.
Good.
Oh, but how on earth would we manage?
It's iniquitous.
I agree. I tried very hard to explain that to them. Then I pretended the others might riot. Then I told them the truth didn't do any good. They poo-pooed the idea that you might like it here and not want to go.
Like it? We love it. Yes. Never been so happy in our lives. Three meals a day, plus cocoa at bedtime. Comfortable room, place to rest one's head. Don't worry about what clothes shall I wear today. Helpful guards on every landing, attending to one's every need.
Yes.
Not to mention the fact that one never receives any bills.
Personally, that's the best thing I like about prison. No bills.
I know what you mean, George. I had three final demands and a rate supplement alongside my lightly boiled egg this very morning.
Good heavens.
One simply can't survive. It's horrendous.
But more important is our work. We've done more to help these boys in the last 3 years inside than we did in our 30 years with Prisoners' Aid and Rehabilitation Society outside. We can't just let it all slip away, Governor. There must be an answer.
Oh, there must be.
There is not. You will have to leave. However, if by any mischance you should err again, you would have to come back and serve what remained of your sentence, plus whatever additional sentence you received. Not that you would, of course. Totally reformed. In a way, that's part of your problem, really. You're both just too nice. Too jolly nice. Charles, George, we, the entire prison will miss you. Yes. Well, I'll let the guards know that you're to be allowed to come and go as you please until you finally leave. Give you a chance to get used to the outside world while still having a safe place to come back to, as it were. It's the best I can do, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Charles, this is calamitous. What on earth can we do? What on earth can we do?
Calm yourself, George. Calm yourself. We're not quite as ready. Form as the governor thinks.
Aren't we?
No, we're not, George. You and I are going to pull off just one more job. A job so big it'll set the whole world talking, make our last little escapade look like peanuts, and will guarantee us, when we're finally caught, prison for the rest of our natural lives.
Well, what do you think, Tommy?
Nah, there's no chance of an appeal to them working. I checked the recording I made of the parole board meeting, and the whole lot were adamant.
No.
George and Charles have to go. That Mrs. Topworth started it.
But what if they want to be released?
Of course they don't want to be released, would you?
No, but...
Well, there you are, then.
Well,
listen, Basil. I've got a small bug in the rose Governor Smith is wearing in his lapel this morning, and I happened to catch him breaking the news to George and Charles that they have to leave, like. And I promise you, they were totally aghast.
Oh, well, in that case, what are we going to do about it?
I personally am in something of a quandary. If only I could think of the right person to punch, perhaps that would sort it out. But I can't think whom I should punch.
Violence isn't the answer, Cyril. But I do know what is.
What?
A little riot. It's the only answer. We'll have to have a little riot.
Hello? Yes, Governor Smith speaking. The Daily what? Oh, the Daily... Yes, I've been expecting a call. It's about the Harady sales day robbers release, I suppose. Is it not? Oh, what is it about?
Sir, you'll never believe what's happened.
Would you hold a moment, please? Plunkett, how many times do I have to tell you, knock on the door and then wait?
But, sir...
But me no buts, Plunkett. Oh, that's rather good, isn't it? But me...
Sir, I honestly think...
I am on the telephone. I'm sorry about that. Prisoners. Which part of the prison are they calling from? B block. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, there's been some mistake. It's obviously a practical joke. B block would never riot.
Oh, yes, they bleeding would.
Plunkett, I would. What did you say?
I said, oh, yes, they bleeding would. There is a riot in B block at this very moment, sir. They barricaded themselves in the meditation stroke snooker room and are holding Officer Wilkes as hostage.
God, why on earth didn't you tell me that? This could be just what I need for the last chapter of my autobiography. Come, Plunkett, to B block.
Sir!
Yeah.
Oh, madam.
That creep from Safe and Secure Security's outside, Mr. Cloney. Shall I send him away?
No, send him in. I was expecting him.
You wish me to wait in case you want him chastised for anything?
No. I sent for him to compliment him. He's been a good boy now. He's organizing our little money laundering factory very well these days. If I have you punch him, he will doubt my sincerity.
Oh.
Now there will be other creeps to chastise. I, Mr. Cloney, promised
you. Oh, very good, Mr. Cloney.
Now tell this creep to come in, okay?
Okay.
Come in, creep. Thank you very much.
Ah, Pukins. Good to see you, my friend.
Perkins,
Pukins, Perkins. With friends, what does it matter?
Friends?
But yes. Did I not invite you to the mansion here?
I was actually a little worried about that, sir.
Oh, what's with this, sir? Call me Coloni now. We're friends.
Yes. Good. Well, I was a little worried about coming to the family's mansion. You see, Coloni...
Mr. Coloni, you're tricking. Don't go getting too familiar with me, you punk. There's a mister before my Coloni.
Sorry. Misunderstood. Mr. Coloni, sir.
Okay. Now we're friends again. Now, don't look so worried. Look at you. Your brow's all a spotted with sweat. A little tick under your eye there. See, going twitchy. Your hand all a shaky. What's the matter with you, Pukins?
You normally don't like me coming to the mansion, Mr. Coloni. Yes, sir. It's not really safe that I, the head of one of the largest security companies in the country, should visit you. Oh. Not only Machine Gun Coloni's son, but the family's representative in England. And while I know that Safe and Secure Security actually belongs to the family, best nobody else perhaps ties the two things together. Wouldn't you agree?
You're questioning my judgment?
Oh, no. Just thought I'd mention it in passing. And nothing else. Just a thought, that's all.
Ah, that's a good. For today, I like
hair.
A little. And I would not like you to spoil that for me. You have made my mother very happy.
Oh, thank you, Pukin. I have. I have. Your mama. I didn't know I'd met Mama Coloni.
Of course you haven't met Buffino. She is a lady. But yes, happy you make her. She called me from Palm Springs. Mama is so proud, she said. Mama is so proud that the family has been chosen over so much competition to guard the Queen's jewel.
The Queen's jewel?
The Tower of London, stop it up.
Oh, the new contract.
And when Mama comes over, she says she looks forward to trying them all on. The crowns, the tiaras, in fact, all the Queen's hats and all the other stuff that ladylike ladies like.
Yes, but Mr. Coloni, that's impossible.
What?
The security's immense. There are alarms, gas, electric scanning, infrared trip switches, magic eyes, beef eaters.
Enough, Pukins. You want that you call my ugliest to whack you a little?
No, sir.
Still isn't good.
Who do the men who will be gathering the jewels work for?
Safe and secure security.
And who runs safe and secure security?
Yeah, well, I do.
And you, Pukins, you ugly, cretinous, morose Dombino, who owns you?
Well,
me owns you. Me. And if the mama of me wants to try on the queen's hats when she comes on a visit, then the mama of me shall try on the queen's hats. You hear me?
Yes, sir. Of course, sir.
Shouldn't be allowed to be asked me, sir.
Plunkett, will you stop mumbling on to yourself? It's very disquieting. Very good of you to help out like this, gentlemen.
Pleased to be of assistance.
Oh, of course, any time.
I went along to the meditation stroke snooker room myself, but they were shouting, hang the governor, hang the governor, with such ferocity, I thought best not pop in unannounced.
I shouldn't worry. Billy was talking about painting your portrait this morning. They were probably agreeing it was a good idea.
Oh, no, I still say it shouldn't be allowed. Prisoners being asked to stop other prisoners rioting, ridiculous. Makes a farce of the old system.
It's not a proper riot, Plunkett. More of a demonstration, if you ask me, or even an improvised drama group come to that.
I still think you should break out the riot guns. I'm going there shooting.
We haven't got any riot guns.
Gas canisters?
No gas canisters either. Too much television, that's your trouble.
Better than asking prisoners to stop other prisoners' riot.
Plunkett, if you don't stop whinging on, I'm going to send you straight back to the guardroom and not let you come with us to the riot. Demonstration, improvised drama.
You wouldn't.
Oh, yes, I would.
Good Lord, I think you mean it.
I most certainly do. Now, will you be good enough to keep quiet?
All right. But I still...
Not another word, Plunkett, or it's the guardroom.
Ooh!
Right. What do you think, gentlemen? A gentle tap on the door, perhaps?
Good idea, yes.
Ah, sounds as though whatever agreement they've come to has met with general approval.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Quatsch! Somebody's coming out.
Ah, Governor, I am the agreed spokesman for the prisoners.
Oh, that's nice.
We have decided unanimously to exchange our hostage for George and Charles.
Very good. Oh, by the way, Cyril, I believe you wanted to have a chat about a grammatical problem.
Oh, yeah, I would, if you'd be so kind as to help. Past participles, principally.
Certainly. Why not pop and see me later on when all this business is sorted out?
Love to. See you then. Thanks, Gav.
My pleasure. Oh, by the way, congratulations on the Grecian urn.
Oh, you've heard. I'm having a shot at his nightingale next.
Well, let's hope you bag it soon.
Hey? Oh, very droll, Governor, very droll.
Right, in you come, George and Charles.
Very good. After you, George.
Oh, many thanks.
Excuse me.
Excuse me, Cyril.
Send out the hostage. Bye, Mr. Wilkes.
Thank you, Cyril.
See you later.
Look forward to that, Cyril. Past participles, eh? All right, Wilkes?
Oh, yes, sir. Fine.
It shouldn't be allowed if you ask me.
Plunkett, enough! But I warned you! To the guardroom! At the double!
God, I've never known anything like it in my life. All my years in the service.
Now, Wilkes, tell me exactly what happened. Every vivid detail.
All right. Thank you. Gentlemen, it's very good of you to be so caring about George and my well-being. And you're quite right, it is a ghastly thing to happen at our time of life. But laying siege to the meditation stroke snooker room is, I feel, not really going to help an awful lot.
More of a gesture, really, Charles.
Well, I appreciate that.
I mean, once the rot sets in, it could strike anywhere. Who knows which one of us might be picked on for early release. Very worrying for all of us.
Now, listen, everyone, please. Charles has a plan.
Well, it's not quite a plan yet, George, but a thought. Namely, one more gigantic job. A job so big that it'll make our last one look like small change and guarantee George and I be blocked for life.
All by yourself?
Oh, no, no. We thought you might all like to help us out. Or, more precisely, help us back in.
But how? I mean, you're outside, being allowed to come and go as you please until you're released properly, as I heard it on my recording of your conversation with the governor, that is. Mm. But we're inside.
Not in 3 weeks' time, you're not.
The choir outing.
Exactly, Nigel. So if you're all to help, the date of the robbery has, of course, decided itself. February the 14th, day of the choir outing.
But, Charles, what's the job going to be? I mean, it'll take an awful lot to top our last case.
That also has decided itself.
How come?
Well, gentlemen, where is your choir giving its special invitation Valentine's Day concert? Exactly. And what of inestimable value is lodged and carefully guarded in the aforementioned edifice?
The crown jewels!
Right again! Gentlemen, George and I would be very grateful indeed if you would all join us in our attempt on the day of the choir outing to remove the aforementioned baubles from the Tower of London.
Julius Caesar's ill-erected tower.
How on earth will you do it, Charles?
No idea, Cyril. But George and I will pop over there and have a look round Caesar's erection tomorrow.
Really? That should be fun.
Something's bound to suggest itself. What do you say, George? Day out at the tower?
Oh, yes. Super. Look forward to that. Take a packed lunch, shall we?
Yes, good thinking.
And an epistemeter, perhaps.
Pardon?
Gentlemen, so nice of you to come at such short notice.
Nice of you to invite us, Colonel.
Yes.
Up with his head! Up with his head!
Beg pardon, Colonel?
Not me. Damn raven on the window ledge there. Go on, put off, you little black beggar.
A talking raven.
Yes, Mr. DeVere, we've two or three of them. As it happens, I'd be pleased if you'd both keep quiet about it. Wouldn't do if it got out. Lower the tone of the whole place, talking ravens indeed. When I find which of the damn beef-eaters is teaching them, I'm going to string him up by his toggles. Yes, well, gentlemen, shall we be seated?
Thank you. Very comfortable.
I'll sit behind my own desk if it's all the same with you, Mr. Perkins.
Yes, sorry. That's all right.
Right, introductions. Mr. DeVere of Stones of Bond Street, Mr. Perkins of Safe and Cigar Security.
How do you do, Mr. Perkins?
Yeah, pleased to meet you.
Well, gentlemen, we're breaking new ground here. This is the first year that Mr. DeVere has been in charge of the cleaning, and this will be the first year that we've ever used an outside security firm to oversee the operation. Being honest, Mr. DeVere, no offence intended, I was rather looking forward to seeing old Mr. Coots again.
No offence taken.
Every year, for 25 years, he's been popping in with his posse of cleaners, polishing up the pearls and pushing off peacefully. I shall miss him. Is he dead?
No, just retired. Oh. At 85, he decided to call it a day. Polished himself to a standstill for the royal wedding, apparently.
Yes. Sensible chap, then. Funeral will be a splendid affair. Time's a bit, gun carriage, all that.
I was taken on to replace him at director level.
Ah.
They felt that with my references, my background in the trade, my fine arts degree, plus the fact that I'm engaged to Deirdre, the chairman's daughter, I was the perfect candidate for the job.
I suppose they won't do, yes. All right, gentlemen, to business. Unless, of course, a quick slosh is called for.
Oh,
a toast to the success of our little ventures, you know.
Thank
you very much. Right, gin and tonic's all right.
Make one a double.
Haunt you, black monster, away!
Dear, I do hope that wasn't a valuable piece.
No, just tourist trash. Sorry about that. Gin and tonic's all right. Good. Better make them doubles, I imagine.
Do you know, George, it's 40 years since I've been here, and it hasn't changed a jot.
40 years
during the war. Had a little job to do.
Gosh, what a throng. Never seen so many foreigners gathered together in one place before. Except for one night in a little place in Tangiers.
A motley United Nations collection, indeed. I should imagine every country is represented. I haven't heard English spoken since we've been queuing here. Still, nearly at the head. I'll give you some money, shall I?
No, it's all right. I'll get them. My treat. Here we go.
I'll wait by the end.
Cheers.
Yes.
Just to put you both in the picture generally, before we get down to finer points, the Queen's company watch the crime jewels, the yeoman warders watch the Queen's own company, the soldiers watch the yeoman, and I watch them all. Until, of course, the week ending the 14th. I'll be your sweetheart. Valentine's Day, that is. The jewel heist is to be closed to the public. The Queen's own company, for the first time in history, goes off to help the Queen create pageantry in Patagonia. Then your cleaners move in to clean the jewels, Mr. DeVere, and Safe and Secure Security move in to keep watch, Mr. Perkins.
Will my men be expected to wear the beef?
No. Just their normal caps and coches and things will do.
And as I stood steel-eyed at the meditation-stroked snooker room door, relaxed but ready to spring instantly into action if there was the least danger to the two prisoners, the two elderly prisoners who had so bravely volunteered to... Oh, damn! If it goes on at this rate, I'll be in my grave before this flipping autobiography goes to press. Come!
Hurry me, Governor.
Oh, Cyril! Pleasure to see you. For one dreadful second, I thought it was going to be that awful Plunkett again. Take a seat.
Thank you. Oh, Plunkett's all right, really, Governor. Underneath, that is. Once you get to know him, like, I wouldn't be surprised he had family problems. Arrogant of a wife or unlovable children, perhaps.
Yes, they usually are, aren't they?
But, as Shakespeare said, let's purge this collar without letting blood.
Hamlet?
Richard III. I think he just needs a little love and affection, really, Gov.
Richard III?
No, Plunkett. Ah.
Well, it's a very Christian attitude on your part, Cyril, but I must admit I find his whining on all the time very hard to take. Very hard indeed. Being honest, I pray for the day when, as Shakespeare also said, his silence will sit drooping.
Richard III?
Hamlet. Just after, alas, poor Yorick.
Ah. I'll have a little chat to him first opportunity to present himself tomorrow, Governor. See if I can get to the bottom of it.
I'm glad the spot of bother yesterday got itself sorted out.
Ah, wasn't much of a riot as riots go, was it?
No, but it'll make quite a nice chapter for my autobiography.
Ah, good. I'm pleased about that. I was even more pleased yesterday with the realisation that George and Charles perhaps won't be leaving us after all.
Really?
Yeah, but best not to talk about it, of course, Governor, as I wouldn't like any possible suggestion that I might be a grass to soil my name. Shades of Iago, as it were.
Of course not.
But I do think I'm giving nothing away if I simply say that the imminent danger of their release might have been safely sidetracked for a little while, i.e. 20 years.
As long as that? Oh, that's wonderful news, wonderful.
Past participles, perhaps?
Of course.
And though not having taken charge of the operation before, I have, of course, been well briefed by our Mr. Coote. Mm,
but of course.
As you know, Colonel, the jewels aren't seated and glued firmly, but in fact likely clipped in their mounting, so it's no great problem getting them out of the settings ready for dipping in the acid bath for cleaning. And, of course, to check that no plastic stones have made an appearance since the previous year's cleaning.
Good Lord, just lightly clipped.
Yes, not commonly known, that, Mr. Perkins. Can't go gouging them out of gold every time they're cleaned, right?
I mean, isn't there a danger that if the Queen is going along in her carriage on some state occasion, she may sneeze violently and inadvertently scatter all the stones in the crowd?
All the jewels in use are naturally firmly fixed, Mr. Perkins.
Besides which, H.M. does not sneeze on state occasions.
Of course not, I was forgetting.
By the way, Colonel, there is one small change that I shall be making this year.
Oh, yes, what's that, Mr. Burr?
Instead of completing the cleaning of the jewels one case at a time and then replacing them, as in previous years, all the jewels from all the cases will be stripped and the gems cleaned together.
Really? A somewhat unusual break with tradition.
We have been requested on the highest authority to have a total weight and present-day market value put on the whole collection. As soon as the last stone has been removed, I shall make the valuation myself, and naturally needing complete quiet while making the assessment, I will do it after the cleaners have left.
And on whose authority is this taking place?
The highest.
You mean?
Yes. I will naturally have the necessary documentation prepared and signed by the authority concerned, and will expect cooperation from both your good selves in keeping the matter secret.
Secret?
Totally. Gentlemen, I may be walking very close to the bounds of what I'm allowed to tell you of this matter. So let it suffice to say that the higher authority concerned may, in a very unusual manner, be about to clear the national debt once and for all.
George, this must be the traitor's gate right here.
Yes, sir, it must be. Leastways, that's what it says on the plaque there.
Really? Oh, yes, it does. Well, that's got that sorted out. At least we know where we are. Good Lord, George. Hmm? Look, who's just come out of the base of that tower thing?
Where?
50 yards down to the left.
I can't see. Oh, yes, I've got them.
Good Lord, he's coming this way. Quick, behind the map. Don't let them see us.
Well, I think no. What on earth is Perky Perkins doing here?
Never mind Perky. Didn't you see who the other one was? The one the Colonel chap it was calling Devere.
No.
It was Brian.
Brian? Brian who?
Brian Thompson.
Sorry, Charles, it doesn't ring a bell.
Who was our personnel officer on the Harady's job? Who got all our men working in the store? Who damn well double-crossed us? Who got all scot-free while the rest of us ended up in B Block?
You mean Brian?
Exactly. The man that officer kept calling Mr. Devere is Brian Thompson. Calm man extraordinaire. Come on, let's follow them.
Yes.
Hear what they say.
Yes. Fingers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't mind me saying this.
What's that, Tommy?
Well, I think you're making a right one. Just a sort of fraction higher than a left one.
But now, no chat for a moment, Tommy.
Oh.
This is quite a delicate bit.
Yeah, I suppose it will be.
Oi! Careful, Fingers.
Oh, damn. That's the third nipple I've had off this morning. I'm sorry, Tommy. Did it get you?
Well, no, it just missed.
Oh, play something soothing. I need my nerves calming.
I wonder how George and Charles are making out.
They'll work something out. Good chaps, both of them.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be funny doing a job without worrying about getting caught and ending up in Nick. Because we're already in Nick.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they need me to open the strong room doors for them.
Oh, a bit of a challenge, like, eh?
No, piece of cake. But I could make it look good. Touch of sweat on my brows. I put my ear to the cold steel door just into the tumbler's click. Everyone standing around with bated breath, knowing that without my skill, the whole caper crumbles.
Yeah.
Even though I already know the combination as it happens.
You do?
Yes, common knowledge. Queen's birthday, 21st of April, 1926, which equals 2141926. Plus the last digit, which changes depending on how many corgis she's got.
Well, I never.
Easy when you know how, Tommy. Oh, no. There's practice underway already. Come on, Tommy, let's be off.
Yeah, but we're only mouthing
that
now.
That is not the point. You know what a temperament Nigel's developed since he's been in charge of the choir. Any absenteeism, even among we mouthers, and he'll drop us from the trip to the tower as quick as a flash.
Move along there, ladies and gents. Get moving.
It's no good, Charles. Getting nearer to them, they'll spot us.
Gosh, now we'll never know what they're up to.
Now here's an interesting thing.
God, you made me start.
Start, you say? You nearly finished me.
I've been watching you two gentlemen and find it quite fascinating. Here's people paying fortunes to come from all over the world to look at the crown jewels, I say to myself, and these two gentlemen arrive at the jewel house and look at the people. Why, I ask myself, why? So, here I am. Tell me, gentlemen, why do you look with such interest at the people rather than at the baubles on display?
Well, we thought we'd recognise the chaps with that military-looking fellow over there, as it happens. But it's not the people we thought of, I don't think.
Oh, as mundane as that.
Great sir.
Oh, pity that. I had hoped it might be something slightly more original. If not professional people watchers or pickpockets, perhaps persons perusing the place prior to pulling off the perfect robbery of the crown jewels, trying to suss out where the alarms were, things like that.
What an amusing idea.
Not that it would do you any good, of course.
Really?
Oh, yes, it's impossible. I've been here 5 years now and I've never worked out how to do it.
You've spent some time thinking about it.
Of course, never stop. Favourite hobby of all of us. Every guard in the place is constantly turning it over in their minds, but it's just not on, I'm afraid.
Those gigantic safe-like doors at the entrance are the problem, I suppose.
Oh, no. Oh, that's probably the easiest part. They never let us catch sight of the combination when they open them, but I reckon it'll be 2141926.
The Queen's birthday?
That's the one. Plus the number of her corgis is the last digit, I should imagine.
Good Lord. How surprising.
No, just common sense, really. After all, in a final analysis, it is her clobber.
I suppose it is, yes.
No, it's getting past the soldiers to the safe door that's the main problem. And then, when you've got it open, your troubles really start. Scratch your nose, blink anywhere near the jewel cases, and there's alarm bells ringing all over the tower.
Oh, difficult.
Impossible. The only chance would have been in the middle of the month, and the rotters are sending us lot off to Patagonia creating pageantry with the Queen, so that's out.
Why in the middle of the month, exactly?
Well, that's when the Queen's going.
No, you said that was the best possible chance.
Oh, well, just between you and I, as you look honest enough to share a little secret with, yeah. They take the stones out for cleaning, then. The smooth-looking geezer, who you thought you recognised, is from the cleaning company that does the job, and the ferrety-looking mon beside him is from the security company that takes over the guardian of the place while we're away.
I can't see how it's easier having all the stones out.
Well, it's obvious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You'd need a truck to take this lot away, wouldn't you? But all you'd need for just the stones would be a decent-sized carrier bag. And that's where all the value is, in the stones.
So beautifully hot in here.
I thought this is the way you like it best.
Oh, it is. Fantastic. Love it. The only way to make the cares drift away.
Relax now.
Totally.
Would you like me to give you a nice, gentle beating, darling?
No. I'm still tingling from the last one.
How about pouring a little more cold water on? I love to see the steam rising from it.
No, I just want to lie back and relax and not think about anything.
Me too. Brian?
Hmm?
I think having the sauna put in was the best suggestion you've ever made for my flat.
Plus the stereo.
Plus the stereo. Brian?
Hmm?
Is everything going to be all right?
Yes, everything's going to be perfect.
But supposing Daddy and the rest of the board find out what you're up to?
Nobody is going to find out what I'm up to. I've matched every gem perfectly. My replacement stones can't be told from the real thing except by the experts. They'll go into the settings the day after the 14th, and nobody will know that they're imitations and that the real ones have been stolen until the following year when they're dropped in the acid for cleaning again and just melt away. By which time, you and I, my little darling, will be married and the world away.
Oh, you know, Daddy will cut me off from the family fortune without a penny if he finds I'm involved.
He won't find out. Nobody will. In 1 year, anybody could have stolen the stones. Besides which, if he did cut you off, we'd be able to buy the firm 100 times over to make up for it.
Let's hope that won't be necessary.
I promise you it won't. It's foolproof. There is only one small fly in the ointment.
What's that?
When I was at the tower today, in the jewel house, as it happens, I looked up and saw 2 old boys watching me. I could swear I knew them from somewhere.
Really?
But I can't for the life of me remember where.
But to me, no more of us! Mama is coming over on the 14th, St. Valentine's Day, the anniversary of a small family achievement, and wishes to see and feel the crown jewel, so she will see and feel the crown of jewels.
It's impossible, Mr. Carnegie.
No! Not only is he stupid, though, he is deaf. I say Mama is stealing the jewel, he says she isn't. Who is the idiot here?
He's Mr. Coloni.
Well, why are you just standing there? What do you think I pay you for? Slap him.
Oh, sorry, boss. Wasn't thinking.
Slap him! Not so hard. It's my property you're damaging.
Sorry, boss.
Right, a few keys.
Let's start again.
Pardon?
I said yes, sir.
Good. A good start. Now, you drive a security van belonging to the firm into the town every day, yes?
Yes.
The day of the 14th, in the van, is me, Colon.
But, gentlemen!
I tell you! You started to think for yourself or something stupid or like that?
Yeah. Sorry, boss.
In a moment, perhaps.
Okay, Pukins. Listen good. Safe in the van is me, Colon. Also in the van is my mama. We are both wearing a beekeeper's costumes, eh? My tailor in Savile Row is already making them up. Mamasie makes a fur line because she feels the English cold winds. When all of the jewel cleaners and all of your men have gone, you get us out of the van. We go into the vault, open it up. No problem with the combination. Except we've got to know how many corgi dogs the Queen's got at the moment. And the Mama. Mama, she holds the crown, the jewel, tries the things on. And then we all come back here for one of her spaghettis.
But, Mr. Coloni, there's soldiers on guard.
How many?
2 on each entrance, plus patrol.
No problem. Stand the guns. Knock him out for 30 minutes. No harm done, eh?
Yes, Mr. Coloni.
One more abut. Well, just one more abut, and I will break pieces off you and hit you with them.
Are you all sitting comfortably?
Yes, sir.
Then I'll begin.
Isn't this exciting? You know, I think I could really get to enjoy robberies.
George.
Sorry, Charles.
Well, gentlemen, our trip to the tower was supremely satisfying.
Supremely.
You've got a plan.
Indeed we have, Tommy.
Indeed we have.
You've started repeating everything I say again, George.
Sorry, Charles.
Glancing idly through the guidebook, we noticed to our surprise that there's only one building in the whole of the tower where it states that you must not go inside without an accompanying guide.
Oh, which one's that, Charles?
The Chapel Royal of St. Peter Adventurer.
It's Vincula.
Thank you, Cyril.
That's the one, next to the jewel house. And we asked ourselves the obvious question.
Why? Exactly, why? And I realized I already knew the answer. I had known the answer for over 40 years, ever since the Second World War, in fact. It just hadn't struck me before. Remember, George?
Charles, what if somebody catches us in here unaccompanied? It does say very clearly in the booklet that it's not allowed.
A couple of doddery old duffers like us. George obviously innocently lost our way. Which way would you say the jewel house was?
Well, now, let me see. I'd say in that direction.
You're probably right. Right. Let's gently wander over there, shall we? Yeah.
beautiful tapestry work around the altar.
Yes, delightful.
That's probably why they have to have a guide. Keep the vandals in check.
You could be right, George. You could be right. But there again, you could be wrong. So this wall would be the nearest to the jewel house, you feel?
Yes. Why do you ask?
Because if there was to be a tunnel, this is the wall it would have to go under.
What? A tunnel?
Yes, George, a tunnel. The one thing about being in intelligence is always store away and remember that which surprises. You never know when it may come in useful.
Surprises?
At one point during the war, there was a distinct possibility that the tower might become the government's final boat hold. A team of us were asked to do a feasibility study and report back. My job was to check all existing plans.
Good heavens.
Well, the boat hold idea finally came to nothing. Hitler backed off. But the thing I remembered about my bit of the research was, in the earliest plans, going back to the misty ages of history, the place was always shown to be a veritable warren of underground tunnels. And the later plans showed no tunnels at all. For some reason, someone had decided all knowledge of the tunnels should be hidden.
But why?
I can't be sure, but it was around the time of the gunpowder plot that they disappeared from the drawings, so it could be something to do with that.
You mean the secret tunnels could still be here?
I'm sure of it. The difficulty is going to be finding the entrance to them. Could be anywhere. Secret panels in organ pipes. A statue that slides aside. Anywhere.
Novels to be pressed on stony walls?
No, not novels to be pressed on stony walls, George. Oh. This isn't Enid Blyton we're talking about here. It's some giant of medieval ingenuity, something much more subtle than a novel on a wall is called for.
Well, they might have used a novel.
Now, George...
I must confess, I always had a longing to find a novel that made, for instance, a bookcase slide aside in some large country mansion.
There is no bookcase to slide aside, and this is not a large country mansion, George. It's a chapel in the Tower of London, and nobody in their right mind would use a novel to reveal its greatest secret. Mm. A sliding coffin, yes. A novel, no.
Well, there are, you've got to admit, some lovely novels on this wall here in front of us. Surely wouldn't harm to try a few of those.
George!
Well... just two, then.
It's a waste of precious time.
This one here, perhaps. No, nothing.
Could we get on?
This one, then. Oh, no. You're obviously right, Charles. Silly idea on my part. Novels, indeed. I shan't press any more. Charles, where on earth are you?
My hunch about the still being tunnels was amply rewarded, though my shins were somewhat bruised while I was being proved right.
You mean?
Yes, one of the large flagstones on the chapel floor is counterweighted, operated by an almost invisible protuberation in the brickwork.
A what?
A protuberation. You know, something sticking out.
Oh, something sticking out. You mean a knobble like?
That's the word, Fingers. A knobble. Perfect.
For want of a better word, knobble. And by a million to one shot, George, within seconds, had found which knobble, or protuberation, operated the counterweight.
Oh, just luck, really.
And by another million to one shot, I was standing on the flagstone as it disappeared from under my feet, plunging me headlong into the blackness below. After George joined me by less precipitous methods, we discovered how to operate the door from the inside. Next, we went exploring.
I think the torch is going to give out any minute, Charles. We'd better follow the trail of wool that you've unraveled from your cardi back to the chapel and...
Shush!
Pardon?
I say shush!
Oh, all right.
Listen. What do you hear?
Well, nothing apart from the odd drip of water. And you saying listen, that is, and shush, of course.
Listen harder. Hear it?
Yes, I do.
And where have you heard that before?
The jewel house.
Correct. Quickly, George. This way. And there we were, looking through a small chink straight into the jewel house.
Oh, people dashing round and round in circles, trying desperately to take everything in, while we had a perfect view, without even paying.
Was that another flagstone, like?
No, a section of the wall this time. Oh. We spotted a way to open it, but it had been sealed round with some ancient sort of concrete. Yeah. That'll be your job, Fingers.
My little tool will wheedle that out in no time.
We do, in fact, have some jobs that must be put in hand immediately. Basil?
Yes, Charles?
Lapidary is your speciality, isn't it?
Well, yeah, he had floater engine, of course.
Chap will look charming on Sunday, Basil.
Yeah,
your use of chrysanthemums was really
but
wonderful.
But it was your skill in lapidary we need for this job, Basil. We need a whole set of imitation jewellery by 14th of February.
Settings as well?
No, just the jewels.
Well, making them should be no problem. I'll get the rest of the cast to help us. But getting the designs together, no, that is a difficulty.
That's where Billy comes in.
Me?
Yes, I have a book on the crown jewels and a breakdown of the gems they contain. You'll have to paint drawings of each of them. Scale them up to the right size and let Basil have them as quickly as possible.
No problem. I do have my Lautrec underway, but naturally that can wait.
That's all very artistic, Skin, but what's the actual plan?
George, would you like to divulge this? My voice is getting rather hoarse.
Certainly. The plan is that as the choir stands up to leave the chapel, 8 will remain hiding under their pews.
Would that be us, George?
Exactly so. Very astute. 2 will get dressed as beef-eaters and remain on guard in the chapel.
That will be Twinnie and yourself, Winston.
Oh,
you always perform so well with the drama group, and some acting may be required.
The rest of us will go into the secret tunnel, and as soon as the workmen finish in the jewel house for the day and the safe door slams shut, fingers will chip away the concrete around our secret door, then we'll all dash in and swap our imitation jewels for those that have been cleaned.
Then we all dash back to our tunnel entrance, slam our secret door shut behind us, back to the chapel, and hide under the pews awaiting the return of the choir. Twinnie and Winston will lose their costumes during the service of Thanksgiving, and we'll all board the bus with the rest, back home to be blocked.
How can you possibly get 2 beef-eater costumes for Twinnie and me?
We've already got them and stored them away safe in the tunnel.
We found the beef-eater's restroom. Borrowed 2 of them. The costumes, that is, not the beef-eater.
Wait a minute. How do you intend to get the jewels out?
Leave that to George and me, please. There will, after all, be no traditional share-out, and it's posterity we're after, not profit.
Fine.
Well, gentlemen, if there's no more questions, to work. Then in no time at all, we'll be heading for the tower. And history.
All right, driver, we're ready.
Yeah. Please let me come, Governor Smith, please. I promise to be good from now on.
No, I gave you my final warning yesterday, Plunkett. Any trouble, no trip.
But, Governor...
It was the last straw. You wanted to examine everyone's little picnic carrier bags before they got into the bus. Thank goodness Charles warned me what you were up to in time, and I could stop it before it started.
I promise to try to be cheery if you'll let me come. I'll try to smile, Babs. I won't be a wet blanket, sir.
I'm not a mean man, Plunkett. I shall put it to the vote. Gentlemen, could I have your attention, please? I have something I wish to put to the vote. Guards and guests, should Warden Plunkett be allowed to come on our outing to the tower?
No!
Prisoners, should Warden Plunkett be allowed to come on our outing to the tower?
No!
There you are, Plunkett. Unanimous. Back to the guardroom.
Not quite unanimous, Governor.
Cyril?
If you would graciously allow me a couple of minutes of your time, gentlemen, I'd like to address a few words to you regarding the essential need in modern society of humanity to our fellow man in general and towards Warden Plunkett in particular.
Mr. De Beer.
Ah, Colonel. Good to see you again.
How's it going?
Very smoothly. We should have the last of the stones out and cleaned within the hour.
Jolly good.
I'll let my chaps go off then, and if you could be in attendance after that, I'll get down to the valuation.
Well, as you know, we've got this Valentine's Day concert thing on the green, plus a short service before and after, but if you get a message to me, I'll slip away and come straight over.
Fine, I'll send one of my men.
No. Best ask Perkins. Frankly, he doesn't seem to be doing anything of any great import. Where is he, by the way?
I just popped out to his security van. Said he's got to check something.
Must have a word with him about that van of his. It's not really on parking itself near the front of the entrance of the jewel heist like that. Trouble with these damn security van things is that nobody ever questions their right to be anywhere. Could be full to the gills with terrorists. You can't even get the doors open to check them.
Yes, you're right. Interesting thought.
And then finally, he walks slow up the long, lonely and dusty road that leads to an inevitable final confrontation with that one great governor in the sky. Sans cap, sans whistle, sans truncheon, sans everything. Let Warden Plunkett have to clutch to himself the memory of how his fellow comrades, though loathing him to a man, forgave him for being himself. And let him go with them on their out into the tower. gentlemen. I rest my case.
Very moving, very moving indeed. You've got a true champion in Cyril Plunkett. You're a very lucky man.
I know.
Gentlemen, I ask once more, should Officer Plunkett be allowed to come on our trip to the tower?
Yes!
So where have you been, you bum?
For hours now, Mom and I have been stifled up in here. Like the confused of a corona.
I just popped back to tell you it'll be a little while longer, I'm afraid.
Longer, how longer?
Not too long.
Well, how long is not too long?
Give you about an hour?
Okay. An hour we can take.
Yes, Mama.
An hour.
Good. Now, the last of the jewels will be cleaned soon. Then I stand by with the colonel while evaluation is made by Mr. De Vere. Then I'll...
Careful, Keno. Spare me the details. Just get back before the hour's up. Then we leap out. Deal with the soldiers. Stun, stun, stun. Take it a moment. But in an hour. If you can... An hour.
Yes, sir.
And puke.
Yes. Mr. Coloni, shut the door.
You're putting a Mama in a draft.
Yes, Mr. Coloni. I'm sorry, Mama Coloni. Is... Mamma
mia! What is that? That's ugly. Like a big thing that's left.
Hello, hello. Who's a pretty darling? Who's a pretty darling?
Oh, Mamma mia!
He has a point there, you know.
George!
Sorry, Charles.
On him. Right, gentlemen. And ladies of course, if you would like to follow me, I shall lead you in procession to Tower Green as the pleasure of our charming encounter.
Now, Charles, yes, now, go! Under the pew!
Are you all ready?
No
longer, please. Right the way. Thank you. Now, you do get that camera
way. We did it! By George, we did it, Charles.
Is everybody here? Basil, Tommy, Twinny, Fingers, Winston, Billy.
Where's Brickhead?
Cyril, where are you, Cyril? Everybody down.
Awfully sorry, Charles. I forgot to stay behind when everybody else left.
35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Yes, sir.
What are you doing there?
Counting the prisoners, sir. 41, 42.
Counting the... But what on earth for? We already know how many prisoners we have.
Just to see if any are missing, like.
Plunkett.
Yes, sir.
You are here under suffrage.
45.
What do you stop at this instant? You're in danger of making me very cross. Very cross indeed. Do you want Cyril to learn about this?
No, sir. Sorry. Sir.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, give us a gander through the old George.
Certainly, Tommy.
Oh, what's going on now, Tommy?
Well, all the blokes seem to be packing up and getting ready to leave. Except the two geezers who seem to be in charge who are just chatting by the door. You want to have a look, Billy?
Yes.
All right. How long do you think we've got, Charles?
Well, as soon as it leaves us all, we'll go in.
No, I mean before the choir and the guests return to the chapel.
Well, it's hard to say, but as soon as there's any sign of anyone approaching, Winston or Twinny will pop down to warn us.
Here, the last two chaps are moving out. Yes, they're gone. Both doors are starting to close. They're closed.
Right, Fingers, off you go with your chisel and mallet so we can get our own private door open and get in there.
Right. It's going to be very strange chipping away without you playing your guitar, Tommy.
Oh, just do the best you can, Fingers. If it becomes too difficult, I'll arm a bit.
In a cow's lip fell I lie. There I count when owls do cry, when owls do cry, when owls do cry.
On a bat's back I do fly,
I do fly. After summer, merrily,
merrily.
After summer, merrily.
Merrily,
merrily, so shall I live now, under the blossoms that hangs on the bough.
Merrily, merrily, shall I live now, under the blossom that hangs on the bough. Under the blossom that hangs on the bough.
Right. That's the last of the concrete chipped away.
Good. All I have to do now is press here, and the door will... There it is.
Perfect.
Oh. Shall I have a go, Charles?
Certainly.
Oh. It Oh, it's no good, it won't punch.
Must be jammed solid.
If you'd be kind enough to line my head up with the centre of the door. Oh,
good idea. Right, okay, all clear now, sir. Off here. And your head's lined up perfectly.
Oh, good. George!
Quiet!
George! Again. Oh, there we are. Just a little bit stiff, that's all.
Quick, in we go. Cyril, you can open your eyes now.
Oh, thanks.
Hold the back of the vault door over there in case anyone tries to come in.
Be delighted, Charles.
The rest of us must match up the imitations in our carrier bags with the real ones laid out as quickly as possible.
Right.
And whatever you do, don't get the two of them mixed up and don't touch the central section. Every alarm in the place will go off immediately. Right, in we go.
Delightful. Pity you had to call me away. My old school chums think they've certainly got a good bunch of choristers together.
Yes, sounds charming, drifting across the green with the ravens cawing in the background.
What? You didn't hear any of them swearing by any chance, did you?
No, can't say I did.
Oh, good. Some of them are getting quite vile. Mr. De Vere?
Yes?
Mr. Perkins? Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, if you'd both be good enough to move off, turn your backs. Yes. I'll dial in the combination to open the vault door.
Oh, certainly.
Right. 2-1-4-1-9-2-6-7 Well, I never. Well, I've dialed the number and it isn't opening.
Strange.
Very.
There hasn't by any chance been an extra corgi born recently, has there?
No, they would have told me. I tell you what, I'll try dialing it again, more carefully. Turn your backs again, gentlemen, please. Yes.
2-1-4-1-9-2-6-7
Somebody tried to open the vault door, Charles.
Hold on, sir. We're near it here. Hurry up, Tommy. Open. Into the passage, Tommy. Fingers.
And swap that pretty one there and that pretty one there. Finish.
They're pulling again. Only harder this time. There's obviously more than one of them.
Hang on. Only a few more stones to match up myself. Finish, Charles. Right away. No, George. That window. Sorry, Charles. Right. That's me finished as well, sir. Okay, come on, you can let go, but any time you choose to make a dash over here.
Very good, Charles.
Right, gentlemen. Just one last heave should probably do it. I think I felt it shifting.
Right.
Now, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3 Oh, Mr. Perkins. Are you all right, Mr. Perkins? Oh, that's a damn heavy door for anyone to get caught behind, Mr. DeVere.
It most certainly is. That is squash poor Perkins flat. Look, slap his face.
What?
Bring him round.
Oh, right.
Ah, appears to be working.
Oh, good. No harm done then, Mr. Perkins.
Well done, Cyril.
Rather spy whole thing, yes, right? Yeah. Well, George, you know what's next.
Turn all the stones to one carrier bag.
Good fellow. Pass the bags to George, chap.
Right.
What's going on, Fingers?
Three blokes have burst in. Two of them must have ordered the third one. Blimey, you'll never believe this fellow. One of them is that Brian Thompson from the Harardi's, George.
Yes, we know. Sorry, I forgot to mention it. He's calling himself De Vere at the moment. Can't wait to find out what he's up to.
Yes, Dudley, what is it now? I'm trying to listen to the concert.
It's a bullet age.
You mean Cyril?
Yes, what about him?
He's not in his place in the choir.
Sir,
you're not starting again with your paranoid suspicions, are you?
No, it's not that. I just thought they might have nodded off during the service and still be in the chapel like.
Ah, you could be right. I did find it rather soporific myself.
And him being so nice to me on the coach and all, I'd hate him to miss the concert, sir.
Thoughtful of you, Plunkett. You're a changed man.
Yes, sir.
Right, pop along over and check. You could also see if George and Charles are there as well. I can't see them either.
Ah, very good, sir. I'll check them as well. And I'll also check on the other five bastards who've gone missing.
Right, That's all the jewels into the one carrier bag, Charles.
Good chap. Off you go and hide them in the chosen spot. And whatever you do, don't let anybody see you.
Right.
Would you like me to accompany you, George, as a bodyguard, like?
No, it's all right. Thanks all the same, Cyril. Back in no time. By George, it's heavy.
Charles, that Brian Thompson bloke has left the other two. And he's coming over towards the gym.
What?
He's kneeling down by them. Now he's got his back to the others.
Let me take your place, will you, Fingers?
Certainly. Oh, I've been looking so long, I'm in danger of getting a bad case of Alzheimer's eye.
Some sort of scales he's got.
If he weighs them, he's bound to realise that they're phony.
No, he's not weighing them. He's... I can't believe it. He's swapping them. He's swapping our imitations for others that he's taken from the false bottom of his scales.
Oh, that'd be good. All the trouble I went through to make them imitations, and they end up getting nicked within minutes and being replaced by some other bloke's imitations.
Charles!
Who on earth?
Sounds like George.
Can't have hidden the stuff already, can he?
Oh, Charles! Catastrophe!
Control, George, control!
Winston and Tenny, they're carrying someone along the passageway.
Carrying? Who?
He fell down the hole in the chapel floor. Knocked himself unconscious.
Who, George? Who?
Officer Plunkett.
What?
Yes, unconscious. Officer Plunkett is now in the tunnel with us.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. After that solo from Gilbert and Sullivan's German of the Guards for the last number in our little concert, we would like to perform appropriately with our legs tucked underneath her arm.
Boom, 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 boom. With the red tucked underneath her arm, she walks the bloody tower.
There you are, Pamela. Just made it for the grand finale.
Yes, didn't take long. Damn clever, these Valuer chappies. Only takes a few minutes to work it all out. And now he'll be off like the trappers to the palace, I should imagine, to let them have the final assessment.
The palace?
Did I say P-A-L-A-Z? Great Scott, so I did. State secret, Star Stinker. Not to be revealed on pain of death. Pop into my office after for a quick snifter, and I'll let you in on the story then.
Right, shall do, Pongo. Be my pleasure. Being honest, I need a drink. While you were away, a raven landed on your chair, and you won't believe this, Pongo. It sounded exactly as though it was talking this time.
What did he say?
Oh, this is a string of numbers. Sounded like total gibberish. 2141926, or something. Oh, yes, and then he said, don't forget the corgis. Don't forget the corgis. Strange.
I'll kill that bird. Kill it!
Well, what are we going to do with him?
A very good question, Fingers. Not quite sure of the answer yet, mind.
But we do the right thing, bringing him along the tunnel here to you, didn't we, Charles?
You most certainly did, Winston. Fingers right. We must come to a decision. Gentlemen, as I see it, there are only three options open to us. One, take him back upstairs with us and have our whole plan revealed too soon. Two, leave him down here where, not knowing the way out, he'll finally die of starvation.
Yes, that's a good idea.
And three, our third and final option.
But, Mr. Galloni, the soldiers looked as though they were dead.
How many times do I have to tell you, stun the pupils? Only they start me. I use the crooked knocker after stunning. Yes, okay. Now take Mama's other man. She's not at the golden stairs.
Stillness, I'm sure one isn't really allowed to take ravens into the jewel house, Mr. Galloni.
I can do anything. I can do anything.
She is my Mama's new friend. He wants to sit on her shoulder and come for walkies. It's okay about me. It is okay about her. That's right, Mama.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
You see? He understands every sound she makes.
Come on! How far? How far?
Nearly there, Mama. The steel door at the bottom leads straight to the jewel.
Take some more weight, Pilgrim, you'll hardly help it.
She's rather... Pilgrim!
Rather what?
Nothing, Miss Clooney. Nothing. Just not been getting very much exercise lately. Bit out of condition, perhaps.
You see, Mama, he didn't mean it or nothing. You're as light as one of your little fairy cakes.
Okay. What's a pretty girl? What's a pretty girl?
Right. All in favor of the last option?
Aye.
Good. Unanimous. George.
Hang on.
What is it, Fingers?
The whole door's opening again.
Oh, no.
It's like bleeding Piccadilly Circus in there. It's two bleeders this time, and they got a raven with them. One of them's absolutely gigantic with a large, bristly moustache. And that security bloke Perkins has just squeezed in as well. Oh, he looks totally knackered, poor boy.
Yeah, let's have a gander, Fingers. Oh, yes, no beef eater. That's a spaghetti eater.
What?
It's Coloni.
Oh, what?
The Coloni?
Machine gun Coloni, son.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, no.
Mind you, I don't know who the gigantic one with the moustache and the raven on his shoulder is.
Makes no difference. Gentlemen, having made our decision, now is the time to carry it out. We must throw Plunkett through our secret door and leave him locked up safely in the drawer room.
I believe he's coming round, Charles.
Right, well, take his head out of your lap and stand him on his feet, sir.
That seems a shame, really. He's just like a little baby. Upsy-daisy. There we are. Who's the big boy standing all by himself?
Where am I? Open the door to the vault, George. Right there.
Put me down. Put me down.
Push. Now, gentlemen, yes, it's double fast. Back to the chapel.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Who the hell is that staggering around over there?
You guys simply got no idea, Mr. Filoni.
A ghost. A ghost.
No, Mama, don't worry. He's not a ghost. Lord, if you'd like me to, I'll make him one for frightening you like this.
Oh,
you're too kind, Mama. That is your trouble.
But where on earth did he come from?
Looks as though he is walking in his bye-bye, staggering like the drunk on a bum.
Yes, well, as long as he doesn't clutch at the center section for support. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's too late. He's going to fall right onto it.
Manager! Manager!
And then, while attending an outing with the wonderfully mellifluous B-Block Choir, a most amazing series of incidents occurred at the Tower of London. Oh, damn. My last chapter as well. Come.
You sent for us, Captain?
Oh, yes, I did. Come in, take a seat, would you, gentlemen?
Well, that's kind of you.
A bit of a day yesterday.
Oh. Interesting.
Seen the headlines?
No. Well, I'll glance at them in passing.
Yes, I did the same, really. A quick glance, no more.
Yeah, in passing.
Ah. Interesting that De Vere person at the Tower wasn't De Vere at all.
Yes.
Her real name was Brian Thompson, apparently. According to the paper I glanced at, police had been looking for him for some time.
Yes. The paper I glanced at said the soldiers caught him red-handed at the gate when the alarms went. Jewels hidden all over him. Was that right, Governor Smith?
Yes, I know.
The trouble is, turned out they weren't the real jewels at all, but just fantastically good imitations. Amazing.
But perhaps not half as amazing as the fact that the two beefeaters they found locked in the jewel house, along with our poor old Plunkett and a rather bemused raven, weren't beefeaters at all. According to the paper I happened to glance at, that is.
Gangsters, perhaps.
Don't be silly, George.
George is right, as it happens. Well, one, that is. The other was the mother. His mother, the gangster's mother.
The security chap, Perkins, that they mentioned, was in there with them, all part of it as well, perhaps.
Apparently. They usually are. Arranged to get him in, along with the raven, apparently.
Ah.
And Plunkett?
Well,
what can one say about poor old Plunkett?
Oh, poor old Plunkett, yes.
Says he doesn't know how he got into the vault in the first place. Delusions about seeing B-block prisoners turning into beef-eaters, carried along underground tunnels, half-conscious. It's very sad, very sad indeed. Though it is, of course, a blessing he won't be back here for some while. Yes, wonderful.
And tragic.
And no sign of the real jewels anywhere.
Strange. Sad.
Did you hear about the reward that's being offered?
No.
Oh, can't say that I did. £2 million.
Really? Good Lord.
So I rang the police today and told them that two of my prisoners, Charles Forbes and George Evans, were claiming the reward.
Pardon?
And then I told them where the jewels were hidden.
What?
Yes. Seemed the least I could do, especially as it appeared that Pongo's head might roll, particularly after he'd been so helpful over our outing. Petrol tank of the security van, wasn't it?
Good Lord. How on earth did you guess?
I missed your company at the concert. Guessed you'd been up to something. Everyone thoroughly searched on the way out, and no jewels. Amazing. So I picked the most unlikely place possible. That most conveniently parked security van and its petrol tank.
Well, I never. How amazingly astute.
Plus, of course, the fact that I did see George at one point popping back into a flagstone underneath it.
George, I told you to be careful not to be seen.
Sorry, Charles.
But, Governor, you didn't tell the police.
Oh, no, wouldn't be sporting. You'd have both got 20 years, and that's just not on, I'm afraid. You do both have to leave B-Block for good.
Oh.
As a little punishment for letting me down. And as an example to the rest. You see, George, Charles, it's quite good occasionally to let people know that one is not quite the silly old duffer they've been taking one for over the years.
I seem to have heard that somewhere before recently.
Besides which, you will be slightly more comfortably off now you're in retirement. £2 million, in spite of the present rate of inflation, should be enough to see you both safely through your last years in some little style. Excuse me, gentlemen.
Oh, certainly.
Hello? Yes? They're with me now, as it happens. I'll put them on. The secretary tells me somebody would like to thank you both personally for saving the crown jewels.
Who?
Someone high up. Someone very high up.
You don't
mean...
Oh, what a glorious ending to my autobiography. Her voice on my phone. Yes, Mrs. Thatcher, they're with me now. I'll hand them over.
Boom, boom, boom. With the head tucked underneath the arm, she walks the bloody tar.
With the head tucked underneath the arm,
at the midnight hour,
she comes to Honky Henry, she is giving him what for. Gadzooks, she's going to tell him off for having spilt her gore. And just in case the headsman wants to give her an encore,
she has her head tucked underneath the arm. Boom, 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 boom.
Peter Jones played Charles and Lockwood West George in Wally K. Daly's play A Right Royal Rip-Off. Governor Smith, Donald Hewlett, Fingers, Charles Hawtrey, Bullethead, Bernard Breslau, Tommy, John Bull, Billy, David Timpson, Perkins, Adrian Egan, Coloney, Gordon Reed, Warden Wilkes and Devere, John Rowe, Warden Plunkett, John Rye, the Colonel, Stephen Thorne, Nigel and the Vicar, John Warner, Basil and the Yeoman Guard, Ronald Herdman, Mr. Jones and Winston, Steve Hodson, Parole Board Chairperson, Miranda Forbes, Doreen and Deirdre, Wendy Murray, Mark Coloney and Mrs. Sopworth, Pauline Letts, A Raven and a Thug, Wally K. Daly. A Right Royal Rip-Off was directed by Martin Jenkins.
Very good, very good.